scripture reading this morning be taken from John chapter 19, verses 28 and 29. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth.
There used to be a fairly well-known store in Fort Wayne that sold guns. The name of this store was Cheaps, C-H-E-A-P-S. Now, as you would, I think, suspect from the name, Cheaps was a discount firearms store. When it comes to certain things in life, we believe that cheap is the right choice. Sometimes a person may say, or a family may say, we want to eat out today, but we want to eat cheaply, or let's make it cheap food. There are people in life that have been referred to as cheapskates. People, as they think about travel, will sometimes say, we want to find a cheap airline ticket, or we want to find a cheap cruise, or we're looking for a cheap hotel room. When you think about the word cheap, you may not immediately realize it, but it is a word that is directly associated with Jesus' life. Floyd just read for us John 19, verses 28 and 29. Jesus was offered a drink that in some translations is rendered sour wine. We probably, if we were to try to classify this beverage today, would refer to it as cheap, C-H-E-A-P, wine. When Jesus was on the cross there in John 19, people offered the Lord a beverage, a drink that did not cost very much. Here was the water of life, Jesus, thirsty, and people gave him something that was very, very cheap. This is the time of year when people start thinking about a lot of holidays, they start thinking about winter, and it's not too far off from a new year. Thus, today's lesson is designed to help us close up 2009. Teresa and I are not going to be here in 2 weeks. So I thought this is the right time to do this, the right time to start closing out 2009 and help us get off to a good start in 2010. The word that I'd like for us to think about this morning is the word cheap. As we noted at the cross, Jesus was offered one of the cheapest things that people could give. As we go through our lives, as we look back on 2009, as we look forward to 2010, how do we treat God? As we think about what we offer to God, have we been and do we intend to be cheap, or do we intend to not be cheap? This is certainly a time of year when a lot of people are thinking about giving. And I've met some people over the years that have reacted to a gift that they received by saying, that was sure a cheap gift that someone gave to me. Now sometimes people will give a cheap gift because they do not like someone. Person may be asked or a person may be told to give a gift to another individual, and because they don't like that person, they will go out and find the cheapest gift that they can get. Sometimes dislike, personal dislike, causes people to skimp. When it comes to giving gifts, there are some cases certainly where a person may say, we need to go cheap this year for, you know, this set of circumstances or another set of reasons. I know a family, talked to them not long ago. They have small children. They said, we're going to have a cheap Christmas this year. We're going to go down to the dollar store, and that's where all of our toys are going to come from for the kids. Well, that's perfectly fine. There are some cases where we do want to be cheap. But there are also some instances in life where cheap is not the right choice. We know the difference between a cheap gift and a thoughtful or an expensive gift. When we think about this idea in the spiritual realm, we find that there are some cases where people can give to Jesus or the Father some things that are thoughtless or cheap. For instance, when we think about worship, we know that God is to be worshiped. And we know that in the New Testament, worship is described in several different ways as far as the activities. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, the Bible says that God wants us to offer up a sacrifice of praise. We are to use the fruit of our lips to offer up a continual sacrifice of praise. This sacrifice should cost us something. It is a gift, it is an offering, but we find that as we look in some places, there are some people who barely sing, or there are some people who do not sing at all. Rather than offer up half-hearted or cheap worship, some refuse to worship at all. The singing that some offer would be and should be classified as cheap. It's not really a sacrifice of praise. The other things that we do in worship, the other four activities, are also supposed to be gifts to God. But when these gifts are offered, sometimes they fall into the cheap category. Recently talked to a preacher that's working in a place where there is a lady there that doesn't like him. And I don't know all the reasons that she may not like this particular fella, but she makes it very, very clear that she doesn't care for him. When it comes time to worship, you know, she's attentive and pays attention until he gets up to speak. And then she puts her head right down on the pew. And if she doesn't go to sleep, she pretends like she's sleeping during a sermon. And then when he's finished, up she wakes. And she's not done that once or twice. She does that Sunday after Sunday. How do we think that God views this woman's time at worship? Well, it doesn't sound like she's interested in giving a very good gift. I know of another man who once preached in a place where someone didn't like him. In this particular case, this fella brought, the guy that didn't like the preacher, brought in a newspaper. And when it was time for the fella to preach, this fella held up his newspaper and read it. That was how he spent Sunday after Sunday. What do those acts say about the person who's supposed to be worshiping to God? Well, they indicate to me that some come to worship to register a personal protest instead of worship. Jesus, we remember in John 4, verse 24, said that God is spirit and they that worship him must. It's required. Worship in spirit and truth. John 4, 24, just attending an assembly is not enough. For this past year, what have we offered as far as our worship to God? Has it been cheap worship? Or has it really been worship in spirit and in truth? If we've not done all that swell in the past year, what do we intend to do for 2010? We want to be sure that our worship is as good as we can make it. We want to be sure that it's in spirit as well as truth. If we do not want to give cheap gifts to the people who are close to us, the people that we love, how unthinkable it should be to give a cheap or an inferior type of worship to God, the one that we profess to know and love. Second point about cheap worship is related to what I would think of as the me principle. When it comes to giving gifts, some are too cheap to really give or to give well. Some have the idea when it comes to gift giving, well, there is someone else that can go ahead and give, and I'll just let that other person do it. People think, well, I'm just not that motivated, or somebody else can afford it more than I can, so they will give the good gifts. That philosophy is in the world. But it's also possible for people to have that idea in the church. We can, for instance, think, well, there are a lot of things that need to be done, but we're going to let other people do those things. I will not help, or I'm not going to help that much. My contribution as far as what I do for God is going to be limited. It's going to be cheap. When we look at most congregations, we find that there are a lot of things that need to be done. Who will do those works? Some are noticeable, some are not. But who will do those things that need to be done? There are some cases, and every congregation, I suspect, struggles with this to one degree or another. But most congregations have a problem with someone else. Well, yes, there is this task. Yes, there is this job. But we think that someone else will do it. When it comes to our time, our minds, our hands, our voices, our bodies, and our money, we can be cheap with those things. We can think, well, we're going to let somebody else take care of those responsibilities. Every once in a while, you'll find if you get church bulletins from other places, a congregation will run a bulletin insert that reads something like the following. Our congregation was saddened to learn this past week about the death of one of our most valued members, someone else. Someone's passing created a vacancy that will be difficult to fill. Else has been with us for many years, and for every one of those years, someone did far more than a normal person's share of the work. Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, or a meeting to attend, one name was on everyone's list. Let someone else do it. When leadership was mentioned, this wonderful person was looked to for inspiration as well as results. Someone else can work with that group. It was common knowledge that someone else was among the most liberal givers in our congregation. When there was a financial need, everyone just assumed someone else would make up the difference. If we want to push off things to someone else, that is an example of being cheap. When we think about the Bible, it is not supportive of people having this kind of philosophy. In fact, when we look at the scriptures, we find that the first century Christians certainly did not want to be people who fell into the cheap category. We think about Acts chapter 2, verse 45. There were some Christians who needed financial assistance. And those brethren didn't say, well, you know, be warmed and filled. We hope that things work out better for you in the future. No, there were some Christians who sold their possessions. In Matthew 25, verse 35, we find that there were some Christians who found some brethren who were hungry. And those brethren, they weren't cheap. They didn't say, well, we don't want to feed you or, you know, work out something. We hope that things go well. No, those Christians helped others. In Matthew 25, verse 36, Jesus speaks about Christians who refused to let someone else clothe those who needed garments. Today, some show cheapness through thoughtless gifts and the someone else philosophy. But when it comes to God, if we are a Christian, that's not the philosophy that we want. We want to give the best that we can day after day, year after year. Christians want to be people who seek to do the things that need to be done. And if that's going to cost us something, and there are going to be times when it does, then we absorb that cost. We give the things that are needed. Now, someone might say, well, you know, it sounds like you're talking about money, maybe a lot of money. Well, there are certainly going to be times when money is required and money needs to be spent. But when we think about being committed, when we think about the idea of we could be cheap in the spiritual realm with all the things that we have, a lot of things that are not related to money are involved. We sometimes hear the old saying, it's the thought that counts. Sometimes with God, it is the thought that counts. In Matthew 25, verse 36, Jesus refers to visiting the sick. Now, it does not cost a great deal of money to go and visit the sick. We may be out a little gas money, but for the most part, it doesn't cost anything to do that. And yet we find that as we think about the word this morning, cheap, we can be cheap when it comes to visiting the sick. I don't know how many of us will be exposed to 500 sick people in our lifetime, but that may not be a bad average to use for this morning's lesson. Let's say that during the time that, you know, we're in our adult years, we are exposed to 500 sick people, and potentially all 500 of those people are people that we could visit. And yet, as we think about these 500 people, and this is just one area of life where we might choose to be cheap, even though there are going to be these 500 or so cases, let's say that we visit one of those people one time. 500 people, presumably more than 500 opportunities. I mean, if those people are sick for 2 or 3 days, we could visit 2 or 3 times. Or if they're sick for a week or a month, we could visit several times. But let's say that in those 500 cases, we visit one of those people one time. Have we been cheap with our time? Or have we been generous with our time? That's an easy question. It's also an easy question to answer. One visit for one person, if there were 500 people that we could potentially visit, is a pretty chintzy use of time and resources. Our works as we go through God are either going to be few or they're going to be many. As we look back over the preceding year, 2009, and I know that the year is not end, has not come to an end yet, how well have we done in 2009 with Christian living? How many opportunities have we used, or how many opportunities have we made for God? Have we been generous or have we been cheap with our time, our talents, and our resources? We know what God's will is. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says that we want to be zealous of and for good works. We want to be, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 14, like a city that is set on a hill. But you know, as you think about the Lord's analogy there in Matthew 5, 14, like a city set on a hill, I think he meant a city set on the hill and you can see the lights. But there's some people, as we look at life, they're too cheap to turn on the Christian light. But God says, that's not the way that I want you to live your life. For 2009, has our service to God been like a series of good gifts? Or as we reflect back on 2009, we have to say, there were some cheap gifts that I tried to ship to God. If that's been our choice, if that's been the way that we've lived, God says that's not the way that I want you to continue to live. Good gifts, when we think about the things that we really want to give, the things that we believe are valuable, those gifts usually begin with ourselves. We think about what, you know, we might like, or we think about the interests, the desires of another person. We spend some of ourselves to give a good gift. And the Bible recognizes that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. There the scriptures talk about they first gave their own selves or of their own selves to the Lord. When we first give of ourselves, we're giving something that's not cheap. We are really giving something. In life, people try to offer a lot of different things to God. They may attend a few religious services a year. They may put some money into a collection plate, or they may give some funds to a great charity. Some will even say, well, we want to go down to the local shelter and help during the holiday season. A lot of those things are nice. A lot of those things, nothing would be wrong with them, but they're not truly good gifts. True giving. Avoidance of cheap gifts means that we start with ourselves. Maybe that's why Paul, when he wrote to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 1, said that as a Christian, we want to present ourselves to God. In that same verse, Romans 12, verse 1, he uses the word sacrifice. And then he described that sacrifice. We not only want to present ourselves to God as a sacrifice, we want to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. If we make that choice, if we want to live a Christian life where we are a living sacrifice, we will not offer cheap gifts to God or others. We will offer ourselves first to God and then to others. We'll live the kind of life that Jesus referred to in Matthew 6, verse 33, when he said, we're going to seek first the kingdom of God. Philippians 4, 3 describes the point in this way. Fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Oh, a lot of people want to have their name in the book of life. That's where they want to be recognized by God. But in Philippians 4, verse 3, God says there is a condition. We need to be people who are not cheap givers. We need to be people who are willing to live a sacrificial life. We do not want to offer cheap gifts when it comes to God and the Christian life. And that means that we need to be busy in God's kingdom. We seek to give Him our very best, day in and day out. Some of those contributions may be visible to others. Some of those contributions may be virtually invisible to others. But we know what we do. We do the very best that we can with what we have. There are going to be times when we fail. Sometimes we intend to give a good gift, and that gift that we give, it just doesn't turn out all that well. God understands those times. God does not expect us to be perfect in the gifts that we offer, but He does want us to do the best that we can. He does want us to be a living sacrifice. If we let our minds skip back over 2009, almost 12 months have gone by, how have we lived during the past year? Good, bad, or is it kind of a mixture? As we think about the fact that in just a few weeks, 2010, a new year, will be upon us, what are our plans for the new year? Do we hope that as we continue to go through life, we're just going to somehow be able to glide by on a cheap faith, or have we chosen to live a faith, which is described in Romans 12:1, a living sacrifice? It's a thoughtful question. Let's not be like those people at the cross who offered Jesus cheap wine. Let's be like people who do their best to offer their best to God day in and day out. That's the choice that heaven wants us to make. It's a choice that we start by becoming a Christian. If we have faith in Christ, that's the beginning point. That's essential. If we're willing to turn from our sin and we say, well, we've done some things in the past that are not right, we want to live in the right way. That's repentance, and the Bible says that's also required, Luke 13:3. If we're willing to confess that Christ is the Son of God, we can be baptized into His spiritual body of the church for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2, verse 38. And then we can say, I am thankful, I am grateful, and God, I want to give you the best gifts that I possibly can, whether that's through my service in life, in my worship, in every way. Gifts won't always be perfect, but I do want to make them as good as they can be. That's where we hope you are in your Christian life. How you've lived in 2009, how you're going to live in 2010. If that's not been your choice, this morning you can change. God gives you that opportunity. We'd like to extend that opportunity to you now. And if there's a way that we can help you make alterations in your life, will you let us know what those are as we stand and encourage you with this song?
That are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, He is the just one, He hath the words of life. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am Lamb resolves to enter the kingdom, leaving the path of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Should we see it, please?
We've come to the time where we have set aside